trying to golf in.
Mirza Shab, we'll get it in.
I can't go on Friday.
Today is a good golf.
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Okay, clever. Today's a beautiful day to talk about dying. Sorry to drop that on you, but that's what this piece is about. I got up early this morning to try to make more sense of this piece of Torah. I was really struggling with it. So we're going to talk about dying today. We're talking about an encounter with death and dying. I know it's not a comfortable topic. I even thought about skipping over this piece because I really didn't even know what to make of it. But I think we'll try. Like dying, yeah, like being dead. Yeah. I mean, yesterday we touched on, you know, working on one's overall well-being before you're dead, because when you're dead, you'll come to a recognition of truth. Today we're going to talk about dying in a different type of way. Okay, so let's start with the Gemara in Brachos. I need to give a big Hakadamah. Right, you'll see Sichas Aran is in source number 8, but we need a big introduction so that we don't lose our minds from this piece. Okay, the Gemara in Brachos says that when it comes to Melchemes HaYetzer, when it comes to fighting our Yetzahar, the Gemara says, Amr bi Levi bar Chama, Amr bi Shimon ben Lakish. La'olam yargiz adam Yetzer tov al Yetzahara. A person should always yargiz, should agitate, should incite his Yetzer tov over his Yetzahara. Shedamar, that's what David HaMelech says, I think it's the fourth parak of Tehillim, Rigzu ba'al techto. Rigzu, incite. Ba'al techto. Start up with your Yetzahara. Use your Yetzer Tov to overpower him, and don't sin. Im nitzcho mutav. If you win the battle with your Yetzer Tov, that's great. Ve'im lav yasuk b'torah. But if you feel that you're struggling in the Melchemes HaYetzer, so you need a weapon, obviously the greatest weapon against the Yetzahara is Torah. Yasuk b'torah. Shenamar imru b'levavchem. Ponder it in your heart, in your mind. Im nitzcho, if you defeat him, mutav. Ve'im lav yikra kriyashma. If learning makos is not helping you to defeat the Yetzirah, so then recite kriyashma. Shenamar al mishkavchem. It's a continuation of the pasuk. Rigzu v'al techto, imru bilvavchem al mishkavchem. So what you do when you're lying in bed is saying shema. When you go to sleep, zman shchiva, kriyashma. Im nitzcha, if you beat the Yetzirah, great, mutav. Ve'im lav yizkor lo yom misa. But if your Yetzer Tov is not strong enough, and your learning is not strong enough, and your Kriya Shema is not strong enough, so just say to your Yetzirah, leave me alone, because one day I'm going to die, and I'm going to have to give an accounting of this. I'm going to have to answer for this. Remind the Yetzirah of the day of death. Now there's a different way to read it also. Yizkor lo yom misa. Remind him of the day of his death. Tell the Yetzirah that he's going to die one day. In other words, tell the Yetzirah that eventually he's going to be uprooted from the world, so he's not as powerful as he looks. But I think the Pashup Shad is a person should remind himself of the Yom HaMisa. As the Pasuk says, V'domu Sela, and be silent forever. That's the end of the Pasuk. We know what the word Sela means from Esh Kodesh. So the question that bothered many Achronim in this Gemara is, if apparently the best way to defeat your Yetzirah is to what? Is to say that one day I'm going to die, and that will, you know, cool off the Yetzirah. So why not use that technique right away? Why do I go through this process of learning Torah, and if that doesn't work, say Kriya Shema, if that doesn't work, mention the day of death? Why not just use that right away? So I want to give you three answers to that question, and you'll see it's important to frame our discussion about dying, which is not, again, a comfortable topic talk about or to think about, but an important one. The Chafetz Chaim says in Chafetz Chaim al Torah, in the footnotes to Parshas Bereishis, Chafetz Chaim says, Haskaras Yom HaMisa Hi Kvar HaEitza HaAchrona. The reason that the advice of mentioning the day of death is the last of the techniques, Kamo HaRofe Shenosein L'chola HaSam HaYoser Chazak. It's like a doctor who gives to a patient a very, very strong medicine. Meaning what? You go to the doctor, you say, Doc, I've got this pain. Okay, take this medicine. He gives you the medicine. You call him up a week later. Doc, it still hurts. Okay, I got something for you. Try this. You take that a little better. You say, Doc, I'm still, it's not working. It's not, you know. I can't. It hasn't cleared up my my sinus infection. My head is pounding. You know, all right, I got something for you. All right, and he gives you like the ultimate medicine. So you'll say, "Kasha on the doctor." So, doctor, why didn't you give me the strong stuff right off the bat? Why didn't you give me the good stuff right away? So the doctor says to you, because you have to understand, it's very powerful, but it also comes with powerful side effects. Right? Some people have very strong reactions to it. You don't just give the heaviest medicine right off the bat. You try to do something less intense, less invasive. If it becomes necessary, the doctor will do whatever it takes to treat the patient. So in a similar fashion, right, it's the same idea, says the Chafetz Chaim. We don't want to use our strongest medicine right away. How good would it be, says the Chafetz Chaim, if the patient doesn't need, right, literally, drugs which are intoxicating. In other words, there's many side effects. It'll work. You're not going to treat like a headache with chemotherapy. It's a powerful drug. It can cure cancer. You're not going to use that for, right? So in a similar fashion, halavai, it would be better if we can heal ourselves, if we can defeat the Yetzirah with a less intense medicine. Rak misrapi b'derech hayoser kala, to heal ourselves in a more gentle way, because the side effects are significant. That's the Chafetz Chaim's answer. But let's try to understand that more deeply. Why is that? Why is it that mentioning the day of death, right, has a negative? What is the negative side effect of mentioning the day of death? So in Parshas Netzavim, it says in source number 3, Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom, es ha-chayim ves-ha-tov, ves-ha-maves ves-ha-ra. However, this is a really important piece of Torah we're about to learn from the Panim Yafos, or Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, student of the Maggid of Mezrich, author of the Sefer Hafla, brother of Rav Shmelk of Nicholsburg, one of the great tzaddikim, v'nigla v'nistar. The Panim Yafos, the Parshas Netzavim, asks the same question. Quotes the Gemara in Brachos in the first line, and he writes where it's bolded, Ve'im Yom Amisa Hu HaTachlis. If Yom Amisa is the ultimate goal, Havi Leila Meimar Miyad Yizkor Lo Yom Amisa. Why didn't the Gemara say that as a first response to the Yetzirah? If that's the best response, that's the most powerful response to the Yetzirah, why not use it right away? Va'od Amar, and furthermore, it says in Pirkei Avos, Yistakel B'Shlosha Dvarim Ve'ein HaTabal Yidei Avera. Contemplate three things and you won't come to sin. Da me'ayin basa, la'ana ta holeich, lefnei mi'ata asin liten din v'cheshbon. It says in Pirkei Avos, you should think about where you come from, where you're going, who you're going to stand before in judgment. Va'inyin hu ki hamayla hatova sheba'adam, hu shi'edabik b'toras chayim v'hu advekas v'lokim. However, the goal is to be able to what? To cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to live with Hashem. And therefore, im yishaber kalach yitzro hara b'torah, if you're able to what? To counter the Yitzhara with Torah, ma'arav tuvo. That's so good. You know why that's so good? Because if I can fight the Yitzhara with something as positive as Torah, and if that's how I constantly protect myself by surrounding myself with Torah, ki b'chol yom v'yom yitosef bo chachma v'das, and I increase my knowledge of Torah, my connection to Hashem, through Torah, day in and day out. V'kalach ha-yetzahara holech u'mismayit, and in that way the Yetzahara's force against me becomes weaker and smaller. As the Gemara in Kedushin says, im evin hu nimuach, if he's like a rock, the Torah will cause him to shatter, to melt. V'amru od b'rasi yetzahara b'rasi Torah tavlin, right? Torah is the antidote to the Yetzahara. So if you're able to defeat the Yetzahara with Torah, that's great, that's kavaldik. Because Torah is sweet and Torah is beautiful. What happens if you can't do that? V'im kolach yitzro gavar ma'od shelo yuchal l'shaber b'torah. But let's say you're not able to do it with Torah. You're not able to do it with kriyashma, by contemplating the oneness of Hashem. Shuba ma'ilal yona b'dveikos Hashem yizbarach v'nishmasa. If you're not able to fight off the Yetzahara with positive thoughts about Torah and connectivity to Hashem, so then you know what you need to do? You need to scare the heck out of yourself. Azai muchrachu lahargiz yetzahara ba'atzus v'shibron guvo sha'odim b'yom hamavas. Then you need to what? Then you need to break yourself and you need to say, don't be an idiot, you're going to die one day, you're going to have to answer for this. It's not worth it. It's not that kishmak. But that's a very negative way That's a very, very negative way to fight off the Yetzirah. To constantly remind yourself that you're going to die. To make yourself sad as a way of losing that excitement to do that Avera. Right? It also works. You say to the Yetzirah, Al Yedei Yitzro, the Yetzirah is the one who's going to take you out of this world. As the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Hu a Yetzirah, Hu Malach Hamaves, it's the same Malach. So you say to the Yetzirah, I know I'm going to die one day. That's a very disheartening thought. But it causes a person to what? To not do the Avera sometimes. Umachmas, Itzvon, Vishibon Gufo, through that sadness and the breaking of his body, Yevato Kalach Ta'avaso La'Avera. He'll become almost, you know, down and feel sad to the point that he's not in the mood for the Avera anymore. Vizohi Mida Gurua, this is a very lowly way to try to uplift yourself, right? By reminding yourself you're gonna rot in the earth one day. Aval Kolzman Sheyachol Lishavro Bitorva Kriyashma. Ain't Sarach Lamidazo. If you can counter Yetzirah in a positive way, a million times better. You don't need to do it this way. Because when you attach yourself to Hashem, when you connect to Hashem positively, so that has a ripple effect also. When I see that my friend Yosef Manis is inspired and connected to Hashem, so I wanna experience what he's experiencing. I wanna taste what he's tasting. I wanna be connected to that. Right? It has a ripple effect. People around me will want to be from. My children will want to be from when they see that Yiddishkeit makes me happy. That it's a positive experience. But if my kids see that the only way that I'm able to be a frum Jew is by constantly scaring myself into Yiddishkeit, that might work to stop a particular moment of taiva, or a particular bad decision. But then the Yetzirah is going to keep coming back. It's going to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. And I'm going to have to keep silencing it over and over and over again. That's what the pasuk means. V'domu sela, silence it forever. But I'm forever going to have to need to keep silencing it. So says Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's go back to the pasuk now that this piece is built upon. Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom. Behold, I am placing before you today. Behold, I am placing before you today. Says the pasuk. Etzachayim v'esatov v'esamavis v'esara. Says the Hafla, says the Panim Yafos, says Rav Pinchas Alevi Horowitz. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klal Yisrael. We're 6 lines from the end of source number 4. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Nasati lefanecha shnei drachim, levata layetzahar. There are 2 ways, Re'eh, you should see that there are 2 paths before you, Esachayim ve'esatov. Such a beautiful Torah, no? Esachayim ve'esatov. You can defeat the Yetzahara by falling in love with Torah, falling in love with Hashem, a good path, a path that speaks about life. Gihem chayinu v'rachimenu. Hainu ledavik b'torah u'mesiras nefesh la'Hashem. Attach yourself to Torah, attach yourself to Hashem. That's called chayim and tov. As the Gemara says, tov zu Torah, right? Ein tov ela Torah. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, but there's another way to defeat the Yetzahara. And that's called eshamaves v'eshara. To speak about how bad the Avera is. To speak about how you're going to die one day. You have to answer for it. Da'ainu shi'ashabra es yitzro b'yom ha'misa. Uvedine gehenim shenikara. Talk about how you're going to go to hell. And you're going to burn for it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, while both paths are true, and sometimes both paths are necessary, Moshe Rabbeinu says, uvacharta b'chayim. Choose the path of life. Don't resort to the Yizkor lo yom ha-misa, unless you absolutely must. Choose the path of life. Uvacharta b'chayim. What's the next part of the pasuk? Leman tichya ata v'zarecha. Because then you're giving life not only to yourself, but to your future, to your children. You're creating a hashpa of positivity. Torah is gishmak. Torah is good. Dveikus b'Hashem is sweet. Tamu ru'u ki tov Hashem. Experience it and you'll see that Hashem is good. Understand it and you'll see. Shiyamu tzidkaso livnei banim. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Ha'idosi b'chem ayom es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. Lashon eidus. Sheheim enim ovdom es ha-shem mach v'sira sa'ona eshkiyim b'kiyim mitzvasa. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm begging you, I'm asking you, Klal Yisrael, please, don't become the types of Jews who can only serve Hashem out of fear. right? But continue to serve Hashem out of a love for Torah. Defeat the Yetzirah, because Torah is so much more geschmack than the Avera, when you experience how sweet Torah actually can be. Okay? So again, the Gemara says, first, mention Torah, learn Torah. Second, say Kriya Shema. If you're really stuck, mention the Day of Death. Why don't you do that right away? Mention the Day of Death is the best medicine. Chafetz Chaim says, because there's side effects from that medicine. Parham Yafos explains, the side effect of that medicine is that it creates a very negative impression of what Yiddishkeit is. And therefore, it's much better to use a positive connection to Torah to defeat the Yetzirah than to use a negative connection. There's one other reason why we can't always use the medicine of mention the Day of Death. And that's based on a Gemara in Shabbos, the Chassam Sofer, in a beautiful volume called Drushim Va'agados, the Kisvei Yad of the Chassam Sofer, is published a number of years ago. So in source number 5, the Chassam Sofer gives another answer to this question. It's a beautiful answer. He says, you know what the problem of mentioning the Day of Death all the time is? Then it loses its potency. If you get too comfortable with the concept of death, if we live in a world where we're always exposed to death, where every news report is about, you know, 10 people died here, and 20 people died there, and there was a bombing over here, and an earthquake over there, right? And people were crushed at a concert, lo aleinu. Right? If death becomes normal, and you can just watch it on YouTube, it takes away the intensity of what death means. If you lived in a little, you know, shtetl in Europe, so what did death mean to you? Death meant that someone from your shul, from your little shtibl, you know, the alter yid who, you know, you saw in the shtibl every day since you were a little boy, passed away, and the whole kehila takes him to his burial. And it's intense, it's real. Right? It wasn't constantly getting reports of people around the world dying. When you encountered death, it was like, whoa, this is real stuff. But if you become overexposed to anything, so it loses its meaning. Right? That's in anything. In a positive or in a negative. If there's too much of something, so then it's not enjoyable anymore. Everything has to be in moderation. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, in source number 5, Amar Rabba, Mai dichsiv zed darkam kesel lamo. This is the way of the kesel, of the foolish people. What does it mean? Yodin risham shedarcham lamisa. Rishaim know that one day they're going to die. And yet they still have fat on their kidneys. In other words, they're still overly confident. They live their life as if they're going to live forever. Shema tomar shichacha hi mehen. Maybe you'll tell me that they forgot about it. Talmud Lomar says the end of the pasuk, v'achareyim b'pihem yirtzu sela. Their end is b'fihem, their end is in their mouth, is on their lips. And they're aware of it. What's going on in this Gemara? Sam Sofer says the following. You know how Rishaim get over their fear of death? Achreihem b'fihem. Says David HaMelech, Achreihem b'fihem. They talk about it all the time to the point that it doesn't mean anything anymore. They joke about it. They talk about it. They read articles about it. They watch videos about it. They become numb to the fact that it's supposed to be the most serious thing that ever happens in your life. So the way the Gemara is darshing this pasuk, zed darkam kesa lamo, the way of the foolish people, namely, the way that the foolish people remain foolish, and that they live an overly confident existence, is because achareihem b'fihem yirtzu sela, because they always talk about the Yom HaMisa. So Chassam Sofer writes, that's the reason we can't just use the Yom HaMisa all the time to fight the Yetzirah, because then it's going to lose its potency. It's not going to mean anything to us anymore. If you're in a unique situation where you can't fight off your Yetzirah, and the only way to stop yourself from making a terrible choice is to say to yourself, I'm going to die one day, I'm going to have to answer for this, and this is a serious, you know, avera against my Creator, a rebellion against God, okay, so that's when you have to pull out the big guns, the big weapons. But if you use it all the time, it loses its meaning. Okay? So again, this is the Gemara in Brachos, this notion that, in a certain sense, thinking about death is really the greatest way to make meaningful and correct choices, but it's something that we discuss very it's a delicate topic, and we don't want to overdo it. But it's important to also be cognizant of it. It's important to be mindful of it. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, in his Sefer Shabbos Malkasa, brings an explanation from Rav Mordechai Ginsburg, one of the Gedolei Mir, explaining a Maimer Chazal. Chazal say that the Yom HaMisa, the day of death, happens very suddenly. So Mordechai Ginsburg from Mir asked the following question. He said, you know, I understand for some people who never think about life beyond this world, if you're not contemplating that there's one day I'm going to have to stand before Hashem and make a cheshbon and nefesh of my life, so I understand why Misa seems very sudden. But what about tzaddikim? What about the Rabbi Akivas of the world who, you know, who their whole life they're waiting for that opportunity to return their soul to Hashem? Rabbi Akiva wanted to die, you know, longing to give, make the ultimate sacrifice. What about tzaddikim in general who live with this awareness? How do Chazal say that the Yom HaMisa happens so suddenly? Maybe for regular people it feels sudden. But for tzaddikim who prepare themselves, the Yom HaMisa shouldn't be sudden at all. So Mordechai Ginsburg, again quoted here by Rav Pinkus in his Sefer on Shabbos, he writes in the left-hand column in source number 6, that last little paragraph. Va'amar Zal, Rav Mordechai Ginsburg explained, Sha'oso ha-ma'avar ben chayim l'chayim, that passage, that Gesher Tzar Ma'od that we spoke about yesterday, you know, making it through this world to get back to that world. But this ma'avar, this passage from chayishah to chayolam, from this world to the next world, who kol kach nora, it is such an awesome experience when one transitions from this world to the next world. Shad kama sha'adam yachin atzmo la'olam yezepitom. No matter how much you prepare yourself, even by the biggest tzaddikim, it still feels like, whoa, I didn't expect this. It feels very sudden. Uki'ilu yomer aza adam, it's as if a person says, nachon, it's true. She is konanti liza. I prepared for this. I didn't pretend life is forever. I lived with purpose and meaning, and I thought about the fact that life is, you know, is short. Aval ad kedei kach lo chashavti me'olam. But when Chazal say that death happens suddenly, it didn't just say for people who are not serious about life. It happens for the biggest tzaddikim. For the biggest tzaddikim who spend their whole life preparing to be able to give back their neshama in the right way. It feels sudden. I never. It's so intense. It's so awesome that I never imagined it would be like this. Shalosh shayach klal litar es hamavar me'olam la'olam. V'tamid yisha'er hadavar begeder pit'om. And no matter how much you prepare, it's so beyond any description that no matter how much one prepares himself, it always seems pit'om. It always seems sudden. It always seems surprising. So, however, in a certain sense, again, these are some very overwhelming ideas. Right? And we didn't even get to Ridachman yet. I didn't even get to the scary part yet. But I'm just using this old B'derach HaKdama to say that a part of being alive is being able to think about these things in a real way. Not all the time. All the time would be, again, as we're learning, could be potentially damaging. But to be cognizant of the fact that one day I'm going to die. That one day I'm going to have to give back my neshama. And to think about what that means. You know, life is not just about having a good time. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Yoredeya Chela Gimel Simen Ayin Aleph in Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein's, it's a tshuva really about emunah, teaching emunah, how do you teach emunah? And Rav Moshe says, you know, one of the damaging effects of America is that because of the abundance, because it's a, you know, it's a chash of a country, again, not to say that there aren't people in America who suffer from poverty, but compared to certain countries in the world, it's unbelievable. It's Malchusetic, America. So he said, part of the problem, though, with the abundance and sort of the, you know, the success of America is that everyone always thinks that life's about having a good time. The way that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes it in the Sefer, he writes the words, good time. The Marcus back in business, good, gimel vav dalid, good, tes yod yod mem, time. Look it up in the Igros Moshe. He says, in this Medina, everyone thinks it's all about good time. It's all about having a good time. And Rav Moshe says that's not what life's about. That doesn't mean Yiddishkeit is not enjoyable. But my life is not about pleasure seeking. Which means sometimes Rabbi Nachman says, I gotta tell you what's gonna happen and you know, and take it as much as you can handle it. But on a very positive note, and with this we'll do one more source before we see Rabbi Nachman, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, you can't really experience life, and this is such a deep Torah. You can't really taste life in a real way until you contrast it with death. You can't really choose to live until you become aware of the fact that one day you're going to die. That's a very powerful idea. Let me show you how Rav Tzadok says that in source number 7 on the second side of the page. Rav Tzadok writes, he says, "The lo shayach klal hergish chiyus el b'makom sheyesh mitzius misa." One cannot have a hergish, one cannot have a feeling of life until one experiences an awareness, until there's a mitzius, until there's a reality called death, until you encounter that reality called death. And he explains it in the following fashion. He says, you know, when Hashem was offering the Torah to all the nations of the world, he also offered it to the angels. And the angels asked, "What's written in your Torah, Hashem?" And Hashem says, "Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. Adam ki yamas ba'ohel." Right? Zoyis HaTorah, Adam ki yamas ba'ohel. It talks about the halachos. If a person dies in a tent, anyone who's in the tent and the things in the tent become tamei. So Hashem said to the angels, you know, one of the things that is in the Torah is talks about death. And angels, you're not shayach to death, so you're not really shayach to Torah. The angels can't have the Torah. The same way Hashem offered the Torah to Esav and Yishmael, what's in the Torah? Don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery. Not for us. So the angel said, what's in it for us? The Torah requires dying. It's not shayach to you. But it's interesting, that pasuk, Adam Kiyamas Ba'oel, the Gemara writes that Adam Kiyamas Ba'oel means that a person who wants to have success in Torah has to kill himself over Torah. Now what exactly does that mean, to kill yourself over Torah? Typically, yeshiva shavart means, you know, learn with greater hasmada. Very true. But there's more to that than that, right? What does it mean to kill yourself over Torah? It means if you want to have a real encounter with Torah, you have to be mindful of the fact that I'm going to die. And then when I choose to live, it makes that choice so much more powerful and so much more meaningful. Rav Tzadok writes where it's bolded. He writes, "V'hainu, kevan de'ein b'chem misa." Since the angels can't taste and experience death, ein b'chem mitzias hergish chiyus gamkin. They can't experience life. I once tried to explain on Sukkos that this is why we read Koheles on Sukkos. Koheles is the most depressing sefer. Koheles hevel havalim. Everything's hevel. Everything's a waste of time. Everything is pointless. I tried to enjoy this world. Nothing's enjoyable. Why on Zman Simchaseinu do we read Sefer Koheles? And the answer is because until you realize, right, sort of, you know, once you realize kind of the harshness of life, then you can start to laugh and have a good time in a very paradoxical kind of way. Once you realize you're going to die, then you can really choose to live. Otherwise, you're just on autopilot and you're not thinking. But once you're willing to have that frightful encounter with death, so then my life becomes so much more alive. Angels have no sheiches to Torah because they don't have. If you can't come into contact with death, you can't have contact with life. What is Torah if not the source of life itself? And therefore, says Rav Tzadok, Yisrael dvukim belukim chayim, the Jewish people who cling to the living God, shu chay olamim or chay olamim, makor achius shokol olamos, the one who gives life to all of the worlds. Therefore, Lachain Kutchabrihu Vaoraisa Yisrael Chad. Hashem and the Jewish people in the Torah are all one. Alkain Yeshaychas Beham Hergesh Chiyus. That's why we're able to experience life, and we're able to experience Torah, we're able to connect to Hashem. It's a kasha on Hashem. Hashem, how does Hashem have Torah if Hashem has no Sheikhas to death? That's a very deep philosophical question, right? Does Hashem have can Hashem have an experience of death? When Hashem puts a piece of Himself inside of us, the neshama, right? So the guf dies, and Hashem always lives. So this, how does Hashem taste death? How can Hashem be the chay olamim if to experience life, you need to have contact with death? So is it Hashem's connection to us? Is that why HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates human beings? That through human beings is an extension of Hashem, that when we experience misa, that gives chiyus. Again, it's a very delicate and deeply philosophical question. But the point that Tzadok is making is really important. It's really, really important. Until you have an encounter, lo aleinu, a person gets into a terrible car accident, and they walk away okay, and they could have been killed. Their life is different after that. That encounter with death makes them appreciate and think about life in a different way. So therefore, this yizkor lo yom ha-misa, as much as we gave all this hakdama on the first side of the page, how we have to be careful not to overdo it, right? But we have to realize that all of life, in a sense, is training for that moment, which Rav Mordechai Ginsburg is telling us is impossible to really prepare for, but don't shy away from it, because if you want to have a meaningful life, you have to be prepared to talk about the uncomfortable reality called death. Okay? Yoni, wanted to say something?
Yeah. Maybe, in my mind, the question is a little more contradictory, but at least for me, like, it's great if death is motivating for a short amount of time. Like, you see, like, a great person dying, you say, oh, life is fleeting, and I need to be great.
Right, I need to work on myself.
Like, a week or 2 weeks.
Right.
So in order to be motivated and live a positive life, you kind of have to capture death constantly, which seems, like, right, more depressing than actually, like, optimistic. And I guess then that's just one of, like, commemorating your death. That if you have like every week, you remember this great person died.
Right, you need to check. You need to check in. Yeah. You need to check in time and again with the concept of death. Right. Interesting. Yeah, it's a delicate balance. Because again, if you overdo it, it becomes meaningless. Right. But if you totally ignore it, then you're just gonna coast through life, and your decisions are not gonna be based on the fact that my life is so short lived in this world. So it's a delicate balance. Yeah. You want to say something? Sure. Let's see Rabbi Nach. Let's see Rabbi Nach. You want to say something?
Well, just add, about the Kohelet piece.
Yeah.
I've heard that the opposite, that it's like often used to give more of a stern thing to the people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's the traditional explanation. That we read Kohelet so that we don't think that Simcha is, you know, folly and levity and lightheadedness. And so we balance out Zman Simcha Seinu by being serious. Right? But I think on the deeper level, we dafka to experience true joy, you have to be prepared to face the hevel havalim of life. Adam yisoda be'alfar v'sofa lafar, you know? Come from the dirt back to the dirt. Yeah.
I think it's very interesting that we're talking about like physical death. It's very, I guess, controversial to a lot of the teachings of different tzaddikim and stuff who very focused on, like, I guess, all of Hazat and all of Havah being, like, intertwined, kind of, like, just your neshama doing its avodas Hashem.
I guess. And the neshama, you're saying what? The fact that the neshama lives forever, so the real you never dies?
We're doing avodas Hashem in this world to build up our neshama, but the neshama is not dying.
Right, the neshama is forever. Right. Okay, so we need to read this piece from Rabbi Nachman to get the answer to that. Because Rabbi Nachman talks to us about our experience in death in relation to our body. Because you're right. The real me, the neshama, is forever. So what's the big deal? But you have to understand how stressful it is for the neshama to watch the body decay. And that's, like I told you, this is the heaviness of this piece. Okay, so let's read Rabbi Nachman. I think it'll help. It's a short piece, very short piece in Sichas Aran. And again, a very uncomfortable piece, but let's read it. He starts by quoting the Mishnah in Avos. It's a statement from Rabbi Lazar HaKafar in Pirkei Avos at the end of the fourth parak, which has, again, many statements, intense statements about life and death. Against your will, you're born. Against your will, you'll die. You're going to have to give an accounting, etc., etc., etc. So one of the lines that he says in that Mishnah is, Al tomar shahasha'ol v'hakever beis manus lach. Do not think that what? The actual lashon of the Mishnah, if you look in the footnote in the second line, the footnote in the middle, Va'al yavtichacha yitzricha. Don't let your yitzer hara encourage you, right, and assure you that the sheol, that the grave is a base manuslach, that the base, that the grave is going to be an escape for you. Sometimes a person says, you know what, life is so hard in this world that in a certain sense, when I die, life will be like so much more relaxed. I don't have to worry about midterms. I don't have to worry about making a living. I don't have to worry about anything. Right? So there's a certain almost temptation in a very strange kind of way. Part of the reason the Torah so vehemently forbids suicide, because the Torah says, no, you're forced to live. You have to live. And if you think that being dead is somehow an escape from responsibility, it's not. So be careful. Says the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, Al tomer shasha'ol v'akever beis manuslach. Don't think that, again, that the grave is somehow an escape. And Rabbi Nachman explains, Ki ba'olam hazeh sheyesh la'adam trados va'ol ha'parnasam. In this world where you're busy running from one college class to the next, and getting the paper done, and getting the summer internship, and paying your bills, and working out your apartment, and figuring out what to eat, and who should I marry, and where should I live, and why are taxes taking half my paycheck, etc., etc., etc. So when you're really busy in this world, you know what happens, says Rabbi Nachman? Yachol lihiyos shiakotz v'yinshoch oso parush. Parosh. V'hula yargish. Sometimes a mosquito will bite you and you don't even notice it. Sometimes because a person is so busy in this world, he could be stung, he can get a paper cut, he could be, you know, he could be bitten by a mosquito. He doesn't even notice it. Why? Because he's so busy that he doesn't realize sometimes, you know, even the physical pain that his body is going through. It's only when you're lying in bed at night, right? Trying to fall asleep, then all of a sudden you realize you have that mosquito bite. Right? When did I get this mosquito bite? Why didn't I feel the bite at the time that it happened? Because I was busy with a million other things. When things quiet down, all of a sudden I become more aware. Aval shom bekever, when a person is in the grave, sha'oz ein ha'adam shum tirda, when your body will one day be lying in the ground, and there's no distractions, no tests and papers, no responsibilities, even the IRS can't get you anymore. V'shum machshava cheres, there's nothing else other than your body. Oz, I'm sorry, you have to learn this piece. Oz hu shomeya afilu harechisha v'ahiluch shalatolaim. It'll be so still, it'll be so quiet, you'll be so freed from the noise of this world, but you'll also be so in tune with everything around you that even the crawling of the worms in the ground, you'll be able to hear. You'll hear the worms and the maggots coming in your direction. I'm sorry. I told you I want to skip the piece. And you'll be much more aware. It's in a different way. It's not a physical awareness, obviously. Your neshama's not in your body anymore. But when the neshama is able to sort of have the quiet, right, to have that mental wherewithal, it recognizes and hears, it perceives in the clearest of way, right, every bite. V'ein shum davar shiatridehu v'yimna'ehu migodot tzara kasha rachmanu letzlan. And there's nothing that can really save you, other than Hashem. There's nothing that can save you from the pain. There's no distraction. There's no obstacle to that harsh reality. When it gets quiet. What does Rabbi Nachman want from us? Like, why do they, what is this piece?
It's advocating for cremation.
It's advocating for cremation. It's not advocating for cremation, but I will show you that if you look in source number 12. No, I'm being serious though, because look at source number 12. Shulchan Aruch says, you should just know this. Hanosein meso ba'aron velo kavro bekarka over mishum malin esames. If a person puts someone in a coffin and doesn't bury them in the ground, so it's an aveira, it's a violation of leaving the dead unburied. Ve'imnasno ba'aron.
Who's the violation on?
I don't know, whoever. Family members who are supposed to tend to the burial, I guess. Community, I don't know. If you put a body in a coffin and then put it in the ground, so that's not a violation. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, that's why in Eretz Yisrael, they don't bury in coffins, they put you right in the ground. Why? Because this process of the decaying of the body is very, very stressful for the neshama. And the faster it happens, the better. So in America, we have to bury in a coffin. We make the coffins, right, under normal circumstances, right, out of very thin wood that hopefully decays more rapidly.
Is that like a legal thing?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so. I'm not sure why. Right, but it's much better. The Shulchan Aruch says it's much better. If you put a body in a coffin, it's not in the Veira, but really you want to put the body straight into the ground as quickly as I can. It's a big bracha for the body to, right, to, you know, be freed from itself, so to speak, as quickly as possible. Because again, there's a tremendous pain, there's an awareness that the neshama has of what's happening. After a person dies, the neshama knows, the neshama is very much aware of what's happening with the body in this world. I'll show you another Gemara that makes this point. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that talks about how to give a hesped, how to give a eulogy. So the Gemara says in source number 9, Amr of Yehuda Bereid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei the Rav. May a speido shal adam nikar im ben olam habahu ve'im lav. From the way that they eulogize a person, you can get a sense if this person's a ben olam habahu. You can tell. They say, do people really look up to this person? Did he really live a meaningful life? Are they scrounging around to try to find something nice to say? From the hesped, you can get a sense if a person's a ben olam habahu. Ini, says the Gemara, is that really so? The Amr le Rav or Shmuel Bar Shilas, Eichem behespeda, the Hasam Kamina. Achem behespeda, make the hesped moving, the Hasam Kaemna, because I am there, because I'm standing there. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Had the Machamule Vachaim, Had the Machamule Velochaim. In other words, the Gemara is saying, ah, but Rav Shmuel Bar Shila said, make sure you say something nice about me. So is that mashma? He's not a ben olam haba? You have to ask someone to say a good hesped for him. So the Gemara says, no. As long as someone says something meaningful about the person and people are responsive, chayim means like they're responsive to it. Right? So the one who's giving the hesped should try to say something moving, and if people are moved, that's a good sign. That means the person was probably a sincere person. If someone gets up and gives some very, you know, powerful speech and the crowd's kind of just rolling their eyes, then it's probably an indication that he wasn't really a ben olam haba. So again, the fact that Shmuel Bar Shilas asked for a geshmaka hesped, make sure you give me a nice hesped, right, doesn't mean that he's not a ben olam haba, that he had to ask for something special. It just means, again, we look at the crowd. How does the crowd respond? If the crowd is moved by the meaningful words, then it's a sign that the person's a ben olam haba. But what does it mean that when Shmuel Bar Shilas said, what does it mean that, the Rav said to Shmuel Bar Shilas, Hasam Ka'emna, I'm standing there. What do you mean? Give a good hesped because I'm there. What do you mean you're there? The neshama left the body. Your body's there. What do you mean you're there? So Rashi writes in source number 10, what does it mean, Hasam Ka'emna, Bishas Hesped, I'm standing there at the time that the body is being eulogized. Rashi says the neshama, so to speak, the person is present. Ve'eshma eich mischamim, and I'll be able to hear. I'll be able to know if you give a strong hesped or not. I'll be able to see and perceive. The Sfarim say that your hearing becomes even more pronounced after you pass away when it's freed from the body. So the neshama is very much aware of what's going on after it leaves the body, and therefore don't think. Again, Rabbi Nachman really explaining Pirkei Avos, don't think that when you die, now I don't have to worry about anything. There's a lot to worry about. So what are we supposed to do with all this? Gemara says in Shabbos, in source number 11, Kosher Rima Lameis Kamachat Bebasar Achai. Again, a worm, a maggot, is as painful to a dead body as a needle in live flesh. As much as, you know, as painful as it is, you think, my body's dead, it doesn't feel anything, it doesn't matter, my neshama's up in Shemaim. No, not true. The body goes through tremendous, the neshama goes through a tremendous sar, watching the body go through this process of decay. And Rabbi Nachman says, and there's no distractions. You can't pretend whatever. You can't find some escape from this. So what's the point? What does Rabbi Nachman want with all this? We're out of sources. I got one last source to show you. What does Rabbi Nachman want from this? What's he saying?
Just to wake up and realize how big of a gift life action is.
Right.
Take it day by day.
I guess be that tzaddik who hopefully when it's when you're in the ground, you'll have again you can't escape it other than Hashem having rachmanis on you. So appreciate your life while you've got it. Live meaningfully and hope that Hashem will go easy on you. And again, as much as this is a very dark type of motivation, as we said on the first side of the page, from the Panim Yafos, we don't want to scare ourselves into making better choices. But a little bit, we have to think about these things. A little bit, we can't just numb ourselves with all sorts of responsibilities and meaningful or other as an escape. There's no escaping this this harsh reality. Yeah.
So, I forgot where this teaching is from, but
our tzaddikim whose bodies don't decay in the ground.
So maybe that could be the thing that, like, the more we try and work on ourselves now, the less, like, the maggots have, and the less pain will be in.
Right. For sure.
Would it be the hardest thing? Because what our bodies are,
it'll be protected for Tchias HaMesim. It'll be guarded over it. Right. The tzaddikim, the bodies of a tzaddik, are protected, you know, to the degree that the body was free of sin, the body is guarded even in the grave. The bodies that need to decay as part of their tikkun, as part of their cleansing, that feel this awesome discomfort, yeah.
So, when there's also the idea of, like, a human being, our way of tikkun on the neshama, is that like having parallel to the worms eating at the flesh? Probably. And that might be like what the tzar, that the feeling is like the spiritual parallel to being eaten by your skin.
Maybe. I don't know. It's real stuff, though. I don't know. You read this. Read what the Sfarim say. Read what the Arizal writes about chibut hakever. How your body has to be, you know, beaten up by malachim after you die to get kind of beat the shmutz out of you. I don't know, chevra. L'chaim. You know, I don't know what to say. Rabbi Nachman loves us tremendously, and he wants us just to be honest and to be good and to be aware of how life actually works, and we can't pretend. Can't pretend this is not a thing. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov.
Why would you want to be at your eulogy? Like, let's say it's not. A
I don't
good
know if you want to. Maybe the neshama doesn't know how to.
Like, let's say it's not a good one. Like, how do you?
So make it a good one. Make it a good one.
He's dying depressed. Like, how does that work?
Yep. Now's the time to make the choices. Now's the time to make the right choices.
Yeah. Imagine like it's a really bad eulogy.
Yeah. Okay, well then a shot, man. Oh, it's very painful. The neshama also watches people mourning, you know. That's why it's very important to bury right away. Until the body is buried, there's an even greater awareness of what's going on. So you see the loved ones, the family members, saddened by the loss of that person. It's very intense. Whatever that means on an emotional level, that the neshama is able to experience it. I don't know. Rabbi Yoni, yeah. I think that's considered a zilzal hames. It's considered disrespectful for the. Yeah, yeah. Why don't we have? It could be. Actually, the Gemara says in Moed Katan that we maybe used to do it that way. The Gemara says actually they used to do it more open, and then out of respect for those we're not as healthy or something. I think the Gemara says something like that in Moed Katan. I may be mistaken, but I think in the third parak of Moed Katan it talks about there was a period in time where we did it that way a little bit more. And maybe based on this, you know, that would create sort of that harsh awareness and reality of death. Okay, I want to end. Oh yeah, sorry. Another question. Yeah.
By this logic, like everything we've been saying, is that what we say? Kind of that mass deaths. Things like that,
or
like a wake up call
for the world. I don't know. Could be. Saying when it has more of a global scale, so that's a message not just to. Right. The Gemara says when a member of the Chabura dies, meaning if a member of the family, or a member of the yeshiva, or a member of whatever, a certain group passes away, so then the whole group has to kind of reflect on that. As they naturally would, but when something happens on a international, on a global level, so maybe that's something that the world needs to be more mindful of and reflect on. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, let's end with a positive, sort of a positive note. It'll hopefully make you smile. There was a sefer that was published in 1911 called Sefer Mei Ma'ayan, written by a yid named Mordechai Yosef Waldman. Half of it's on Shas, half of it's on Drushos. And in the back, he has some different little things that he, stories, hanhagos from different tzaddikim. So he writes in the final source about the passing of Rav Simcha Bunim of Pershischa, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha. He says, "Al derech masha shemati meis achasid amenoach Shmuel Alimelech." I heard from the Siyad Shmuel Alimelech. Ki be'es gesisas harav etzadik morena Rav Simcha Bunim roi Yisrael beir Peshischa. When Rav Simcha Bunim Peshischa was a goises. Goises means that in that last moments before passing away. Hanikra Harebi Rabunim. When the Rebbe Rabunim was mamish hanging between life and death. Shama ki ra'ayaso hatzadekes boiches mo'od. He heard that his Rebbetzin was crying a lot. Rebbetzin Simcha Bunim Peshischa was crying a lot. She was very sad. So he said to his Rebbetzin in the left-hand column, "Va'amar lamadua ze boiches? Why are you crying so much? What are you crying about?" He said to her, "Halo b'chol chayai ha'adam alav lilmod heich lahachzir nishmaso l'mish nafach bo. Va'ata ata boiches? Don't you know that all of life a person is supposed to prepare himself for that moment when he's expected to return that great gift, the neshama, to Hashem? Achas sha'alti meis Hashem doesn't only mean there's one thing that I request from Hashem. Sha'alti is a lashon of like a shoel, a borrower. Achas sha'alti, my one and only thing, my neshama, my main thing. Sha'alti meis Hashem, I borrowed my neshama from Hashem, it's on loan. So my whole life I have to be prepared to repay the loan." So the Rebbe Bunim said to his Rebbe, "What are you crying about? Don't you know a person spends their whole life preparing to give back the neshama? This is how it goes. What are you crying about? And I prepared. I spent my whole life preparing. To whatever degree the Rebbe Bunim lived with an awareness of the Yom HaMisa." So his wife was a clever woman, and she loved her husband. So she said back to him three lines from the end. Ve'yishiva lo b'metek l'shona. She responded with her creative and sweet way. L'chein ani tefila ki tichya yoyser. Vitilmud yoyser, viteida vitavin yoyser, heich lashiva. So she said, if the whole purpose of life is to prepare yourself to better return your soul to your Creator, so it's my tefillah that you should live longer, and you should get to learn the sugya better and understand it more, and then eventually you'll be able to return your neshama somewhere down the road. You'll be able to give back your neshama in a better way. So my bracha to us is, halavai, halavai, we should all have long, healthy, and happy lives. And we should have, many, 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 many years to learn this sugya. Right? Many, many years to learn this sugya. We should, it's not a halacha lemaisa sugya in this moment. Chas v'shalom. Right? But even a person who lives 120 and spends a long time preparing, right, as we learned again from Mordechai Ginsburg from Mir, there's a sense that it happens too suddenly, no matter how prepared you are. So at the very least, we should be aware of it. We should be mindful of it. And hopefully it can help us to make good decisions along the way. But again, like Rebbetzin Simcha Bunim Peshischa said to her husband, I daven that you should get to work on the sugya a little bit longer before you actually practice it halacha l'maisa. Okay, so Hashem should give us long, happy, healthy lives. And again, to the degree that we understand the reality and the truth of death, Like Rav Tzadok said, we should be zochet to have a hergish of a chiyus in our lives. Okay? Shkoyach. It's a heavy piece. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't make anyone uncomfortable. Rabbi Nachman. That's what Rabbi Nachman says.